The Russian president is calling for an ambitious military modernization plan in response to NATO expansion. He's also accusing the U.S. of beefing up American forces near the Russian border and even poaching Russia's mineral wealth. The White House has framed the remarks as a way to get countrymen, on board. And so why is Russia doing this? Is this really a response to the U.S. action? Joining us now is BBC Russian affairs analyst Stephen Eek, who's in London. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning. This was indeed a very surprising announcement from the Russian leader, Dmitry Medvedev. He said that 2011 will mark the start of a major program, the most ambitious program we've ever seen, in fact, in Russia since the collapse of the Soviet Union, to rearm its army and navy. There is, of course, already a massive campaign of spending on the Russian armed forces to try to bolster their readiness and to modernize them. Many of the parts of the Russian armed forces are still suffering from problems such as antiquated equipment. But over recent years, we've seen a bolstering of the armed forces. We've also seen things like the restoration of the overflights by the Russian Air Force, which has caused certain problems in Western countries. But this was a big announcement by the Russian leader for the period 2011 till 2020, based on what he said were continuing threats to Russia's national security from not just things like regional conflicts, he pointed to Georgia, international terrorism, but also NATO expansion and indeed the US.
May I beg the question, is there enough money to both support Russians who are not universally well off and to pay for this kind of military expansion?
It's a very important question because the Russian economy has been hit extremely hard by the global financial crisis. If you imagine that something like a year ago, Russia had an annual growth rate of 8 or 9%, Russia has now gone into a recession, and the growth rate for the current 12-month period is going to be something like minus 8 or 9%, a 20% almost collapse in growth rates alone. That's not to mention what's happened to the Russian state budget, which has lost a third of its revenues over the last 6 to 8 months. So a very serious situation with the economy. On the other hand, the military-industrial complex in Russia, much of it left over from the Soviet period, from communist times, is a major employer. It employs between 1.5 and 2 million Russians. It is also the engine of scientific growth and innovation in Russia. So therefore, it's something that the Russian government says is simply too important to be left on its own. It will be bailed out if necessary. There will be no mass closures of factories and engineering facilities, and there will be no mass layoffs of employees in that big state sector. So what they're saying is that not only are they going to be boosting the country's defense potential, and the new spending will actually start with the strategic rocket forces, mobile, modern, the type of thing that Russia says it really needs, but they're saying that by making this expenditure, they both protect jobs and Russia's national security.
So, Stephen, you outlined the so-called stimulus argument for doing this. Certainly, you know, the military is at the center of what is most robust about the industrial economy inside Russia. But I'm wondering if there's also a nationalist play, a confrontation with the United States sort of play, where Putin and Medvedev, unable to really mobilize the country at the time when oil prices were so high, has shifted back to the tried and true sort of confronting Washington?
It's a very important question because I remember back in 1999 when Vladimir Putin first appeared on the political scene as Russia's prime minister, then the president, of course, he outlined a security doctrine that remains in force to the current day, in which I think in the second or third paragraph, the United States is formally identified as the biggest threat to the national security of Russia. That's a remarkable statement. It's there in black and white for anyone to see. Mr. Medvedev is currently working on an update to the national security strategy, but it's interesting, the first signs suggest that the US is going to still be identified as a threat to Russia's national security, despite Mr. Medvedev's statement last week, which I think we should also mention, that he was hearing all the right noises, direct quote, all the right noises from the new Obama administration. So I think the jury is still very much out, although, of course, the anti-Americanism, indeed the anti-Westernism, if not xenophobia, plays out very well with the domestic audience.
So one quick question is just someone here in an American city. Does an update of their military strategic weaponry mean that newfangled nuclear missiles are going to be aimed at cities in the United States under this new plan?
As far as I'm aware, the Americans and the Russians have actually stopped aiming their or pre-programming their targeting systems on each other. But remember that there is a huge nuclear arsenal there, and there have been very, very few reductions since the mid-1980s. Nuclear disarmament is occasionally something the Russian government talks about, but over recent years, with the deterioration in relations between Russia and the West, there's been, of course, no progress.
Huh. Now, when you think about the situation in the region where Russia has what are called breakaway republics. It is fighting with Chechnya. It is fighting with Georgia. And is there a sense of vulnerability that Russia has as a nation about not just what's outside of its borders, but even what's inside its borders?
Well, Vladimir Putin's argument when he finished his two terms as Russia's president and he handed over to his chosen successor, Dmitry Medvedev, was that he'd basically resolved those questions, that once and for all, there was no danger of Russia falling to pieces, there was no danger of separatism in the southern republics, which are still very troubled. On the other hand, Russia saw, particularly in the example of Georgia last August, when it fought that brief war over the breakaway region of South Ossetia, that there were still some fundamental questions about its military capacity, about its military strategy. Russia, of course, was very, very roundly criticized for what it did in terms of the amount of force it used against Georgia. But there are still lots of questions about the state of Russia's armed forces and whether they can really adequately fend off any threats that might arise.
Well, Stephen, we're going to have to end it there, but it's great to hear from you. Stephen Eek, BBC Russian Affairs Analyst.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.